Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, there is a mix of everything going on in the world around us, and we cling to God Jesus as we go through this and that which we deal with in the world. Lord, help us to stay faithful to you, Jesus Christ, and in your name we pray. Amen. We do proclaim Jesus is Lord, and we know that Jesus loves us. Jesus also judges us, and Jesus forgives our sin. As we confess our sin and turn from our sin, and thank you, Jesus, and amen. Oh my, look around us in the world. Don't you see everything going on? We wonder what will happen when. We wonder about grace. Will there always be grace in the world, or will grace be shut from the world? Well, we don't know, but we do know that there will be a time that we must not mock our Lord God, and that could change the grace situation. Now, in the world, we have everything going on. We have love of Jesus. We have blasphemy of God. And we can see that one day there will be a purifying fire on earth and across our land. And we can choose, are we going to follow God, or are we going to be a part of the world? We have choices, and the choices include if our destiny is in heaven or in hell. Will we choose to live a life dedicated to Jesus as our Lord? Or will there be areas that we want to live in that are apart from Jesus? A dark area which we keep Jesus from and just have our little bit of sin in one area of our life. Well, we all have choices, and we want to belong to Jesus completely and not be a part of the problems that are on earth. We know that there's everything around us. There is loving godliness, and there is ungodliness, too. So we want to yield ourselves to the holiness of Jesus Christ completely. We want to know Jesus, and a part of that is to read our Bible. It is from God, and we know that our Bible is true because we have tested it, we have examined it, and we can see our Bible is true. We know that the Bible talks about heaven and hell, and that is also a part of truth in our reality that we understand as we go through life. We want to be faithful to God, Jesus, in every way. And we want to be aware of what is coming in this world. A part of that is recognizing the patterns around us to identify what is coming in our future. Now, we also have prophecy in the Bible, and we get a pretty good idea of what is coming also. So, there are patterns in history, and there are patterns in the Bible. And we can see what it is good and wise to do. What's coming? Well, we see that there are complications coming to this earth. And I remember at the beginning of this year, I could see them that we were going to have various troubles, various chaos coming around this world because of the patterns. It was easy to see that there would be trouble. You look back in history, and you can see the patterns. And we know that today there are going to be troubles coming around. They could be simple natural disasters like fires and floods and droughts and volcanoes, famines and earthquakes. That's both in the Bible, but it's also in history. And so we can wonder, how do we prepare for these things? Well, if there's going to be a famine, you know you will going to want a little bit of food. And there's always a question, how much food should we have? How much provision? How many flashlights and batteries and sleeping bags should every one of us have? And I think that is a matter for each of us to discern, examine, and then make a plan. Preparing for the just in case. That's what we do in this physical world, and that's what we do in our spiritual life. We know that there have been events that have happened in the world. There have been volcanoes. There was a volcano in 545 in Europe. It froze the northern hemisphere, and it caused much famine. There was also Tamboro, the Tamboro volcano in Indonesia in 1815. It caused the year without a summer, where literally it froze everywhere in the northern hemisphere, from London to the east coast of the United States. It froze, and so there was crop failures, and also there was wetness, so the crops were too wet to grow properly. That meant there was famine, and after the famine there was disease. And we know our Bible talks about famine and disease and earthquakes and war. So there are going to be things happening in our world, not just an earthquake like, not an earthquake, but a volcano like Tamboro in 1815. Another volcano that there was Krakatoa in 1883. Those were both in Indonesia. And we know these disasters, natural disasters, can happen in one way or another. And those two volcanoes just happened in the 1800s, and they can happen again. There can be different volcanoes. There can be earthquakes. There can be droughts and heavy rain. All of it. So it's good to have a little bit of extra so we can get through a difficult time. Now, these events typically interrupt life. We can't do the things that we used to do, maybe because of rain, maybe because of drought, maybe because we can't drive anywhere. And so we have to be aware that things can change with natural disasters. And all through the thousands of years that we people, human beings, have been on Earth, there have been unexpected events. There have been disruptions. There have been wars. In the last 100 years, there have been world wars where millions and millions of people have died. There have been volcanoes where many people have died, hundreds of thousands, not millions. But the thing is that we can be quite sure that there will be patterns repeating. And which ones they are, we don't quite know, but we know that there are indicators. Right now, there's a question about if Yellowstone is going to erupt as a super caldera, which in effect is a volcano. And then there is another super caldera in Long Valley, California. That's in Southern California, in the Sierras. So we have things that could really take place at any time, and right now we have a choice. Do we get prepared for a natural disaster? Do we get prepared for something that is just in case? What if there was a fire or a flood or just about any kind of a thing happening? It's good to have a little bit of something that we would call preparedness for the just in case. After all, when things turn difficult, you really can't get anything because everything has already been purchased and put aside. I also think about that flooding in California in 1862-63. Right in there, there was literally feet of rain, and that filled in the Central Valley of California and effectively turned it into a lake. The Sacramento River and the San Joaquin Rivers, they turned into a floodplain. So it can happen again. If it happened once, yes, it can happen again. And all of this is a matter of what it is wise to prepare for. There are things that we just don't guess also. We don't think that there will be terrorism, except we know these days there is. There is terrorism, yes, in the United States, and terrorism, yes, in the Middle East and in other countries. People are unhappy and are ready to be violent. In the Middle East, there's also a matter of pride. Well, when you think about the conflicts between Israel and, let's just say, Iran, there is a mixture of violence and pride that just is already settled into those cultures, and they can lead to a conflict. I was just thinking of how there were a couple of those leaders of Hamas, Hezbollah, and they were guests in several of those Middle East countries like Qatar and Iran, and that caused a little problem because the host countries believe so strongly in being a host to a guest that if that guest is attacked, well, they just take it personally. And apparently it was Israel who attacked their guests. So I just think that there needs to be a pretty big understanding of what else happened. I know on October 7th, Gaza, Hamas, attacked Israel and also killed a number of guests and a number of people who lived in Israel. Terrible, terrible killings happened. So we have a situation which could easily get out of control and turn into a feud, even a blood feud. And I just wonder if it would ever settle down. I know there are countries that get over a feud by having a strong dictatorship in that country. And the dictator says, you can't do this, and if you do, we're going to kill you. Huh, that has gone on just plenty. Well, I was just thinking of a blood feud that I'm just thinking of back, in the 1990s, like 92, maybe 94, the U.S., went into Bosnia, and we had a war that we were a part of in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And I remember a report by an embedded reporter, a war correspondent. And so he was there to cover the war in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and he was a part of, well, sort of a part, an observer, in a group of, 28 or 30 soldiers. And his report was very interesting because He'd been embedded with that group of soldiers for 2 months, and then one night, there he was. He could tell that they were getting ready for something. The whole group was stirring around, and they were getting ready to leave. He could tell that. And he did ask what was going on, and mostly nobody would talk to him. Nobody would tell him what was going on. But eventually, he got enough information, and he learned that they were going out on a mission. And that mission was against a very, very bad man. That's about all they would say. And they obviously didn't want him to go on that mission. But he was an American war correspondent, and he went along on the mission just out of the way, followed them quietly, and kind of like tagged along. So there he was. After 2 hours of walking, they got to a clearing where there was a digging going on, and the group was digging a hole. And they took out a old rotten box, and in that box there was a wrapped up corpse, and they did bad things to the wrapped up corpse. And after just a little while, those soldiers settled down, and the correspondent went over to look at this very, very bad man. And he found out that they dug this body out of a cemetery. He went over and looked at the headstone, and he found that that very bad man died in 1790. So, in his report, he wrote about how ancient this hatred was that kept alive in these people, and how there could be no peace in a land that held such hatred. Well, we in America are involving ourselves in the feuds of other countries. And I think of George Washington, how he said that we, the United States of America, must not get involved with the affairs of foreign countries. Or what he said was that there was danger in foreign entanglements. And so he urged national unity in a new United States of America, a new nation. And he urged the representatives to be concerned with virtue and with public good. Well, this all sounds good and right to us today. We want to be involved in virtue, and we also want to be involved in public good. And that is also what our politicians talk about. They urge Americans to be united in public good and to fight against injustice in America and around the world. So we get to figure out, what does that mean? And I think it's helpful to look at biblical morality and try to understand what public good would be. Yes, what it would be in George Washington day, and what it would be in our day. What does national unity mean? Well, we have situations all around us today And we have politicians that propose that politicians will continue to promote the common good and unity. That has been going on as long as there have been politicians. That's what politicians do. They help the public decide what national good is and what unity is to rally the people behind the politicians. It's an old story. It goes back to the governments before Rome. Wherever you want to go back to, it's there. So we see it also in these days. In the recent years and decades, we have to look around and try to understand what it is that the politicians are promoting. Is it for the good of the people, or is it for the good of the politicians? We get to understand the biblical principles, and there are biblical principles about what goes on. The biblical principles include, like in James 3:11, where it says that we don't mix sweet water and bitter water. It talks about we don't mix the grapes of and the olives, and we keep things separated. Revelation 3:16 talks about if the water is hot, it's good. If the water is cold, that's good. But if it's lukewarm, we spit it out. So we have all these things that indicate it's good to be one way or another and not lukewarm. Oh, there's even Deuteronomy 22:11 that talks about not weaving cotton and wool together. You see, it's a principle of having a separation and keeping one thing pure and another thing also pure. Now, we get to understand that as best we know how. We get to seek understanding of what these biblical principles mean. And we all seem to have a different idea. And then we all get the consequences for what we understand is right and just. And then we learn and we get to teach somebody else, maybe our children and our grandchildren. We learn the lessons. Sometimes they are slow to learn and sometimes they are quick. Well, we have individual choices, we learn individual lessons, and we are thankful for our Bible that teaches us principles. And Lord, let us understand and obey them. Well, our politicians want us to join together, basically supporting whatever the politicians want. That's what the politicians want, is a form of power. And so we have to understand what is right for we the people. What do we choose to support in life? Is it God? Is it love? Is it money? Or is it unity in our community, unity in our nation? Well, these are all questions that we as individuals get to determine and understand and then act upon as best we know how. We look back on history, we look back in the Bible, and we discover principles and how they are carried out and how it is sensible to do whatever we are understanding. And still we pray, Lord, guide us, because there's much that we can learn for human living and godly principles. Oh, our Lord is amazing. Thank you for your Bible, Lord. We want to learn the biblical wisdom, and it is so good for us to learn biblical wisdom. It is just the very best. I remember in my life I have thought that I knew better, and that it just made sense, earthly sense, to do something. And I knew that it wasn't exactly biblical wisdom. Oh, in those times, I wished that I had simply followed biblical wisdom and not thought about what worldly knowledge would have told me to do. But this is how we live and we learn. And now I know that it is biblical wisdom that I want to follow. I don't want to have any more complications or failures in life. You know, we have failures in life. We have things that go wrong all over the place. And we get to understand what it is with a biblical principle that we can follow. Now, some things we just don't know that easily because we don't have enough information. And yet we try to understand and learn. Just recently we had that microwave. Microsoft. That Microsoft failure with CrowdStrike. And the systems shut down, and it affected, airlines, banks, cities, all sorts of things. People were stranded. Sometimes the gas station stopped working. It was really quite a complication. And so, do we follow that biblical principle? Yes, of course we do. We find a way to follow what it means. And that way, our personal life won't be influenced or disrupted, well, through the banking or the airlines or the gas stations or the voting systems. We have things going on. And by the way, now that system, they say, was not a programming error. Now there is a lot of evidence that says it was a cyber attack. And, we have had cyber attacks in the past. We have had the Continental Pipeline. That was 2021. It was a cyber attack. We have had the United Healthcare system go down because that was a cyber attack. We have had probes into our government, into our military, and into our water systems. From around the world, these probes have gone on to see what kind of damage they could do. And one day, we might have damage. One day, we might have all our systems go down. And just think what that means. No more information through the internet. No more talking to our friends and family on the phone. Well, I do have to say that nobody knows how long it would last. There has been a Christian group that talks about 3 days of darkness, which would include a cyber attack. And yet, there's another part of that group that talks about if it goes down for 3 days, it could go down for 3 weeks or 3 months. And that, we just don't know. So, my point is that it is always good to have preparations for the just in case. Just in case we do lose our services. Just in case we lose our gas and our groceries and our telephones and all our systems, our banking, all of it. It's something that we know it has happened, and it happened then again just kind of recently. So we know it can happen again, either intentionally or because of a cyber attack or because of a mistake. We know things can happen, so let us have a sense of preparation so that we can do the preparations that we need so that if it does go down, we still will have basically what we need, which is water, food, and warmth. Now, you might have to cook that food, so you might want a camp stove. You might want a 5-gallon bottle of propane. You might want to have all sorts of things. A manual can opener. You might want to have flashlights and plenty of batteries, because you can be sure your neighbors are going to run out of batteries, and you might be very helpful to offer them food and batteries and who knows what. The point is that is a way that we show caring and loving for our neighbors. Just as Matthew 22:37 says, love God and love your neighbor. Yeah, I know, it's better to read it yourself. You'll get the fullness of it. I just said it really quick. But that is the general point. You know, there's all sorts of things that can happen with our technology, with if we have things that are working or not working. It would make a huge difference if we had no communication, no access to information. And on the other hand, have we become too dependent on it? Well, that's a call for each one of us to make. But there are, I'm just thinking of a story, a true story, about an 8-year-old child that met Mr. Rogers, the television person, and he met him in person. Now, after about 5 minutes of meeting Mr. Rogers, the child fell into a screaming fit, and he collapsed into the arms of his parents. And of course, the parents wondered what went wrong here, what was going on. And Mr. Rogers explained to the parents how this was not an unusual thing to happen. It was because all of a sudden, the young child realized that Mr. Rogers was actually a real person and on TV. And because Mr. Rogers was real, that means all of the terrible monsters that were on TV were also real. And that explained that fit of the young 8-year-old child. Now, similarly, there are adults who all of a sudden realize that hell and heaven are also real. And a person who maybe had a bad accident, and they know how close to death they had really come, they understand the reality of heaven and hell also. They understand that Jesus is very real and that death is very real. So the emotions become very powerful. That happens to adults. Oh, when it happened to me, too, when I had my car accident, I got really emotional at times, both with joy and with sorrow. Yes, joy to be alive and sorrow to realize what was going on in the world, how there really was so much evil in the world. But my point here is that I also realized the reality of heaven and hell, of Jesus Christ. And so I can understand how something would suddenly happen to either an adult or a child. Now, here on Earth, we do have the understanding of believers. And for believers, there also can be this joy or this sadness when they either know Jesus or see other people that come to know Jesus, or when the believers see that the people do not know Jesus and has an understanding that if they don't know Jesus, they will end up in hell. So it's a part of life as we go through and realize there are just parts to life. And I think of John 2:16, where it says, the world is full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that makes me think of the world around us. It makes me think of John 2:15, which warns us not to love the world, for the world has the spirit of Antichrist. And there is a contrast between those who love God's Holy Spirit and those who love the world. We see it. We see it as people think and as people live. It's a body and mind. They can interact with the world. And so we get to observe what happens to people. Do the people choose Jesus, or do the people choose the world? Well, we can relate to all there is in life, with life's intricacies and problems, with people, with money, with all sorts of struggles. Life can be a challenge, and it can get to the point where life and death are really the important parts, just like love and pain can be the important parts. It's just there are a couple of contrasts, conflicts even. And we struggle to make godly choices which reflect God and heaven and hell, or money and people or struggles. All of it we learn as we go through life, what is important and how to make our choices, our godly choices, or our worldly choices even. When we see all the conflict going on around us, conflicts that turn into wars, conflicts that are between neighbors, or just plain old disasters that occur. There are natural disasters occurring all over the world. There are volcanoes occurring all over. Yes, sure, there was Tambora in 1815 and Krakatoa in 1883. Let's see, so 1815 and 1883, so that was a little bit of time apart, but they both influenced the world. They both caused climate change to happen and for crops to fail and for areas in Europe and on the east coast of the United States to freeze, to have snow in the middle of summer. I mean, weather happens, but that was exceptional. I think of another weather event was in North Dakota. There was the blizzard of 1966, where 3 feet of snow fell. Now, that's not a tremendous amount, but what happened was the wind blew the snow into drifts of snow 30 feet deep, and that was a disaster for North Dakota, and that is just what happens sometime. We have things go on that turn into natural disasters. Oh yes, there can be earthquakes and fires and, like I said, volcanoes. Everything happens. There can be floods and droughts, and all these things happen. And somehow we want to be prepared for all the events, even if it's a war event. Now, there's some things that happen when there are troubles. It can be a lack of distribution. It can be trouble with anything. So it's a good idea to have extras on hand, both for you and your family, and for your neighbors and friends. Now, I do think of Amos 3:7, too, which says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets." So we get an idea of what is coming. We can read the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and see that there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, and war and rumors of war. So we do know what is going to come along in our world, but we don't know the exact timing. We just know that things will happen, and we can prepare for them a little bit or a lot. And our preparations can also be used to help people around us, family, friends, neighbors, people who are in need. That's something that we can do as we show the love of God to our neighbors, family, and friends. So have a little preparedness around you for the events that are going to come along. And yes, we know what they are. And yes, or there's things that we don't know. But a little preparation is good as we show the love of God to the people around us. And then we will have an opportunity to talk about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is wonderful. There are good things in life. And of course, we get, let's call it the sunshine, and we get the rain, and we get the wind, and we get all sorts of things. We can be glad for the variety that we have as we live, or we can be happy or unhappy with whatever comes along, but it's all a variety, and often we will like to have a variety, and we will like to have a coat and a hat or an umbrella and a rain jacket. All these things, we can think about what we need, and we can get them and have them in our supplies. It's quite an experience of life. So much variation and so many seasons of life. That reminds me of that Ecclesiastes 3, where Solomon is talking about what goes on in the world. He talks about there's a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. And as the refrain goes, that there is a time for everything, a time for mourning and a time for dancing, a time to cast stones away and a time to gather stones together, time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to loose, a time to tend and a time to sow, a time to plant, a time to speak out. Everything there is a time for. So put it in your order and know what God is calling you to do at that time. That's your relationship with God, Jesus. Now, it's a nice little area to read, Ecclesiastes 3. And we get more when we read things, so I certainly do encourage anybody to read that. We have things going on in our country and in our society, all the things that are about what I just talked about. A time for all these things. And we have events going on in our society today. There is violence and theft of every sort. There is morality and there is immorality. There is non-Christian behavior and Christian behavior. It's all going on today as we go through life. And it's an example of our population is changing. And we have to be aware of the change, understand it, and then live accordingly to our concerns. As our country and our way of life, our society, our families are all destabilizing. They are all changing. And our concerns for safety increase and increase as we go through life. And we must be aware of watching out for ourselves and our family, our friends, our community. Be aware of situational awareness around us. There are good news, good things in the news and bad things in the news. We know that all sorts of things happen, from death and rape and injury to people who are compassionate one for the other. They care for one another. All these things are going on today. And we want to encourage the godly behavior and encourage goodness in our group of friends. One day we might have to go to the stores with a group of 10, 20, or 40 people just to stay safe. We might need food or gasoline, and in a dangerous world, we will need to be in a group to protect the group. And that has gone on for thousands of years. That's a way of doing it, and we might have to do it again very soon. It's kind of typical for third world conditions. And it's not that we know for sure what'll happen, but we do know there are conditions in poorer countries, and that is what we are going to pay attention to. There's plenty of everything going around us. The events around us are for good and for evil. Some of them are supernatural, and some of them are man-caused. Do we actually know? Yes, sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. And we get to deal with whatever it is right in front of us. Things are happening locally. Things are happening on a worldwide basis. And we are dealing with good stuff and bad stuff. We're dealing with fire and floods and collapses and money failing and all sorts of failures going on. That is what's going on in the world and going on locally. I'm just reading about the banks. There's $130 billion of losses that our banks have reported to the Federal Reserve. Now, they are unrealized losses, which means that they haven't taken the losses yet on their taxes, but they're going to be showing up on the books of the banks probably next year, maybe the year after. And it just means that our banks are going to struggle just to exist. And it means that our society may well destabilize. And we have had prophetic people, like Coverstone, the Kentucky pastor, talk about the collapse of America and the banks having their roofs blown off and dollars blowing in the streets. So we may be faced with a survival situation that we did not expect to be faced with in the United States. We have everything going on around us. we have the children that are learning Darwinism and only the strong survive. They have learned that in school for years. So do you think those children are going to show Christian compassion, or are they going to be displaying the kill or get killed philosophy of Darwinism? How are we Christians going to bring the hearts and the minds of the young people to Jesus Christ? Well, prayer is going to be a very good thing. So remember to pray for the young people, for your family, for the people around you. Our prayers are needed everywhere. So think about praying for so many people around us. Yes, our family. Yes, our friends. Yes, the churches. Just keep praying. Well, right now, the season we are in is showing that all sorts of things can happen, both unity and discord. Everything is going on around us. We have an election coming up, not that many days away, and then after that, the inauguration. And history shows that when there's a new president, there are executive orders that get passed that turn into law. And we may very well see a president soon. It's one of those mysteries that we do not know, but we can prepare for what we do not expect. And that is what we do because we're practical, we're knowledgeable, and we can see what is going on. Now, the only thing we can do more is to pray and ask God what to do. So be ready to hear God in your mind, heart, and spirit. So we are dealing with all sorts of things. We're dealing with prophetic things. We're dealing with historic things. What is just normal for history to show us? All of this is coming about right now. And, well, I have to think back to about 2002. There was a kind of a small meeting I was in with a certain Pastor Rhodes, who, well, in the meeting he said, "Just a minute, I have a prophecy." And he said, "The president of the United States is going to make guns illegal in the USA. And that president would be a woman." Now, I think about everybody at that meeting just about fell off their chairs. They couldn't believe what he was saying. But if you look at the situation right now, you can wonder what just might be coming rather quickly. Do you listen to what that Vice President Kamala Harris says? A few days ago, she said, "Every American should be free to live without gun violence. And we will finally pass red flag laws, universal background checks, and an assault rifle ban." She said a little bit after that on Hannity that there would be mandatory gun buyback programs. Now, that's not a voluntary program. That is a mandatory program, and that means it is required. It is no more choice. So that might be revolutionary if we change the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I wonder who would agree with it. I wonder who would not agree with it. Let's see. Another thing that VP Harris said was, we also believe in reproductive freedom. And we will stop Donald Trump and his extreme abortion ban. Now, because we trust women to make decisions about their own bodies and not to have their government tell them what to do, we can guess what'll happen, but we can tell that there's some things going on that people feel strongly about, and it could set up a lot of conflicting sides in the United States. And it seems to me that there are people in the United States who are doing what they want to do more than what God wants them to do, and that brings a question. Do I even know what to say? Not really, but I realize that this is the condition of people. Are we going to do what God wants, or are we going to do what we want? And what about our rights and our freedoms? This is something that could be a conflict very quickly. And then we get the consequences of our actions. Ultimately, it is with Jesus or without Jesus. And ultimately, that means, is our eternity in heaven, or is our eternity burning in the lake of fire, as Revelation 21:8 says? Well, if we are burning in hell, we have no hope for eternity. And if we belong to Jesus Christ, we have hope. So have a look at what is going on around you. Make decisions for your future in this life and your future in the next life. Belong to Jesus now. Tomorrow might be too late. So repent and follow Jesus. Read the Bible, at least read the New Testament. It is instructive and helps you to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is a discussion of knowing Jesus in that heavenly place. And of course, we all think of going to heaven and not hell. So prepare for what is coming in life and belong to Jesus. You can listen to any of the past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And I do have my free preparedness papers, which I will send to you if you send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And thank you for any donations you send to me. Remember to pray for others, and God bless you. Thank you for today. Pray for others. Till next week.